Welcome to the EcoNews Report. I'm your host this week, Tom Wheeler, Executive Director of EPIC, the Environmental Protection Information Center. And I am joined by my friend and colleague and co-host, Scott Creason of Friends of the Eel River. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Tom.
And we're joined again by our special guests, Craig Tucker and Mike Belchick. Craig, you work on behalf of the Karuk tribe, and Mike, you work on behalf of the Yurok tribe. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. All right.
I've worked for the Yurok tribe for about 25 years now.
And so these are our dam experts, and we're going to be talking again about the Klamath dams. If this feels like a repeat, it's not. We just had these two fine folks on the radio about 3 weeks ago, but a lot has changed in the last 3 weeks. A lot has changed in the last week or so. We have a new decision by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission that will affect dam removal. And because this is the hottest issue on the North Coast, we had to get our friends back on the radio to tell us what this all means. So let's talk dam removal. I'll throw it over to Craig to start off with, just to give the broad overview of what FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, most recently did. And then we can talk about the implications of what this decision might be.
I'll kind of tee it up and kind of, again, present to the listeners what we're trying to do in a nutshell. So we've been trying to remove the Klamath dams, and I think people are familiar with the reasons why. And one of the demands from PacifiCorp, the company that owns the dams, which I would say is a subsidiary of Berkshire Hathaway Energy. PacifiCorp is like, look, we're not dam removal people. We're dam operating people. So if you want to remove the dams, we can give them to you. We negotiated that they would give us $200 million along with the dams. And then they just want to walk away from the basin and never hear from us again. And I have to say, we're okay with that. We would like to get PacifiCorp out of the Klamath Basin and proceed with dam removal without them being in the middle of it. However, that requires an approval from FERC. So what we've been trying to do is a two-step dance. Step one being get FERC to allow us to transfer ownership of these dams from PacifiCorp to the Klamath River Renewal Corporation, which is a nonprofit we created for this purpose. And then step two would be to surrender the dams and decommission them and remove them. So we've been on pins and needles waiting for FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, to make a ruling. And for folks who don't know, FERC is this federal agency. It's typically five presidentially appointed people who run an agency that was created by the Federal Power Act, and they have jurisdictional authority on all non-nuclear power plants. And they're typically folks who have a history working in the energy industry. So they typically are they like power projects is typically who FERC is.
Is this the swamp that Trump talks about?
Well, one thing that worth noting is that the president is precluded from having more than three FERC members from one party. So you could have three Democrats and two Republicans or three Republicans. But what we have right now is three Republicans and one Democrat because the president has not put anyone else on the commission in a while. So that's kind of where things stand. And so, I don't know, Mike, you want to talk the specifics of what FERC just told us?
So the application was to transfer the license cleanly to Klamath River Renewal Corporation. And FERC said, yes, we will transfer, but under the condition that PacifiCorp stay on as co-licensee. And what FERC said was that it was not in the public interest for PacifiCorp to be absolved of any liability from the removal of the facilities that they benefited from for so long. So basically, FERC didn't quite rule yes, didn't quite rule no, but I will say they did not say hell no. FERC said, yeah, we'll transfer the license. PacifiCorp has to stay on. And that is incredible in our eyes. I was just hoping that they wouldn't come out and say no, because this is not a very environmental friendly commission under any administration, let alone the Trump administration.
So if I didn't know better, this would almost sound like a vindication of the rights of people, taxpayers, over a corporation, right? So PacifiCorp wanted to get rid of these dams, not have to contribute more than the $200 million that they're already on the hook for through this agreement. And so it almost sounds as if what they're doing is saying, you know, PacifiCorp, you're always going to have to be responsible to some degree. You benefited from this. You have to have some skin in this game. You can't just fully wash your hands of this. But it's been, this decision has been championed by people who I wouldn't necessarily consider friends of the little guy or friends of the average taxpayer. So is this bad? Is this going to substantially harm our chances of getting out dams? To Mike, back to you.
Well, I think there's two ways to look at this. One is the practical reality of it. So long before this FERC decision, when it was assumed that the KRC would be the sole licensee, that it would get transferred to them, the parties worked together tirelessly to reduce the chances of cost overrun or liability or some sort of unknown, the project running way over, cost increases and things like that. And they worked really hard and did that. So there, we believe, and FERC verified in their ruling, that there is very little liability left over now, that the chances are small of a cost overrun, that the project looks fiscally sound, that it's highly likely it'll be completed on time and in budget. So that's all that's left over to PacifiCorp. So PacifiCorp could take a look at this and say, yeah, I guess we're co-licensee, but it looks like you guys really reduced that liability. We're good to go. Or PacifiCorp could look at it and say, no, it says we're not supposed to be co-licensee. We don't want to move forward. And that's where it's at right now. It's hanging in the balance right now, and all eyes are looking towards PacifiCorp to make the right decision here. In our eyes, what Craig said was absolutely correct, that their liability is far greater under relicensing. They'd have to give back that $200 million. They'd have to pay for all the improvements. And if they cost more than dam removal, there's a chance they might not retrieve that money. So we believe it's a no-brainer. What do you think, Craig?
Yeah, I would paraphrase a venerable statesman from a previous generation and say that FERC's ruling tells us that Warren Buffett may not be able to get what he wants, but he can get what he needs. And that is an arrangement that it's far superior than trying to go it alone and relicense the project. We've made the arrangement for $200 million from PacifiCorp's ratepayer base to pay into the dam removal fund. We have $250 million from a California water bond paid into the dam removal fund. We have significant insurance liability protections. We have a huge company called Kiewit Construction on board with a guaranteed cost cap for dam removal. And you've got partners with the tribes of the Klamath River, conservation organizations, and fishermen's group. That's a heck of a lot of security. And the alternative to that is for PacifiCorp to pick up its ball and go home and try to relicense a project that FERC has already, through studies, shown that would be a money loser. They would lose money if they complied with the obligations to build fish ladders and mitigate for water quality impacts operating this dam. So maybe PacifiCorp didn't get what it wants exactly, but they certainly, the deal on the table is by far superior than trying to go back and relicense this project with tribes and conservation groups and fishermen fighting them every inch of the way.
Okay, you guys are making this sound like it's not the worst thing that's ever happened and we can deal with it, we can get through this. But let's be clear, the LA Times called this a major wrench in the process. I have a really hard time reconciling this FERC ruling with what I understand to be FERC's own regulations and policies. And there's just some wild stuff in here that doesn't necessarily line up with the kind of deal you guys have negotiated. And the fundamental one that you've already pointed out is FERC is saying, yeah, we're satisfied the Renewal Corporation has the capacity to carry out the proposed decommissioning, but we'd rather have PacifiCorp online. And they say, as a matter of policy, it'd be inappropriate. And okay, that's interesting. But I mean, on the other side, FERC has said they don't have the power to require a utility to keep a dam and to keep it operating. But they're saying that PacifiCorp can't let you take it out? I'm having trouble making sense of this.
I think if you think about, like, PacifiCorp owns probably dozens of hydro projects that'll be up for licensing in the next couple of decades. And certainly there are hundreds, maybe even thousands of hydro projects in the country that are going to be up for licensing. And a lot of them are deadbeat dams. Not all of them, but a fair number of these are deadbeat dams. We're familiar with one in our own backyard on the Eel River, right?
That's right. Scott Dam.
So what I think PacifiCorp and the power industry would like to do is set a precedent where they can negotiate a very clean deal where we'll give you the deadbeat dam, we'll negotiate some nominal amount of capital, we'll give that to you, and then we're out of here. And if you find dead bodies buried underneath the dam, it's not on us, we're out of here.
Right.
And I think it's really not unreasonable, or I think it could be argued that it's responsible for FERC to say, that's not good policy. We don't want to set this precedent where no matter what happens ever in the future, that the company that's arguably liable for something is not held accountable. And so I don't know that this is strictly a statement on this deal and PacifiCorp, but I do think it's a statement on this larger idea of how do we go about, what are the strategies that we can use to take out these deadbeat dams in the Pacific Northwest and all around the country.
I'm glad you raised that point about the potential precedential effect of this order, because there's another piece of it that really bothers me. FERC says, because the Renewal Corporation intends to decommission and remove the Lower Klamath Project, which is the four dams you guys have negotiated this agreement on, we've applied more than usual scrutiny to this transfer application. What the what? I mean, as you just pointed out, Craig, we have thousands of deadbeat dams country. And FERC is saying, you know, it's going to be harder to take them out than it would be to go forward with any other process. That is to say, they should all stay in place unless.
Well, I think this is what? This is a reflection of, you know, FERC being a bunch of pro-industry people, right? It's like, I wish the scrutiny for building a dam or a reservoir was equivalent to the scrutiny of removing one.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, another problem we're facing with the Scott Dam project, and which FERC addresses here, is the question whether they can just break up a project, you know, a set of dams and diversions and stuff by order. And here they say, yeah, we can. And like, that's a big deal, which it kind of is, unfortunately. But I mean, the other direction is really obvious. As they lay out in here, the original Klamath project was one dam and they just added more dams to it as they went. You know, no problem. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Yeah. You got another dam? Sure. Throw it in there, guys. So your point, though, about FERC as an agency that has neither expertise nor any real stake in ecological impacts in environmental analysis is, I think, really important. One of the first things that FERC lays out is that, you know, it's not even trying to protect the environment on the Klamath. That's something that it leaves entirely to the Fish and Wildlife Service and NIMS and the state agency. And, you know, as far as FERC's concerned, it'd be fine to relicense all these things. Screw the salmon.
Well, FERC does have to accept terms and conditions from agencies like U.S. Fish and Wildlife and NOAA Fisheries. Now, that's where you get these, you know, obligatory mitigation measures such as building fish ladders or adding gravel. It is true, and I would highlight this on the Klamath, and it's another lesson learned for applying to the eel. Under the Bush administration, where we negotiated the original Klamath Dam Removal Agreement, they amended the Federal Power Act to give the license holder, the power company, an appeal to the terms and conditions prescribed by agency. So the first time this was used was on the Klamath.
Right.
So the agency said, okay, well, if you're going to get a new license to operate Klamath dams, you're going to have to build fish ladders that actually work. Those are really expensive in PacifiCorp.
$400 million or something? Yeah.
Something like that. And so PacifiCorp's response to that was, well, that's ridiculous because the habitat upstream of the dams is no good and fish would never use it. And, you know, Mike Belichick did a lot of heavy lifting along with a lot of others to present the scientific evidence that that's not true. And so we had a judicial process to rule on this, and we won. We beat PacifiCorp's pants off in this process. So, you know, I think we've come a long way down this path to Klamath Dam removal. I think PacifiCorp is trying to milk this deal they're trying to milk every drop of support for themselves they can get out of this. But I think that it's pretty darn clear that going through with the deal is far superior for PacifiCorp's ratepayers and Berkshire Hathaway shareholders than any other alternative.
It's also the best thing for the future of the Klamath River by far. Fish ladders, as we argued in court, would work, but they are more expensive and they don't work as well as dam removal itself. They also don't address certain problems like elevated water temperatures in the fall that hurt spawning salmon and the complete loss of spring Chinook in that area up there. So we continue to really look towards dam removal. And right now, our efforts are focused on helping PacifiCorps to understand the benefits to them, and which they seem, at least so far, to be a little bit reluctant to do. But a lot will become clearer in the next couple of weeks.
Talking with Craig Tucker and Mike Belchick about Klamath Dam removal and the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's new decision affecting dam removal.
I guess, you know, you've kind of addressed it already, but another piece of FERC's decision that really troubles me is that they say that this order does not address either the potential surrender process itself, which is to say the decision whether to remove the dam, or the deal that you guys have worked out with PacifiCorps, the agreement that, you know, would allow dam removal to go forward. But FERC's order clearly does affect both of those things. It's going to require a renegotiation of the agreement.
PacifiCorps could just decide to say, okay. So there are ways to go forward without renegotiating the entire agreement.
Right. But the other piece is that FERC is clearly taking into consideration the decommissioning in this order. As they said, they've applied more than usual scrutiny, but they're not thinking about the surrender. It's, huh?
Well, so let me talk about this FERC ruling. First of all, having read a few of these FERC rulings, they're always a mixed bag like this. I was actually wondering how they're going to get out of saying a definitive yes or no. And this is what they did. They kind of said yes and no at the exact same time.
Right.
It's quite schizophrenic. I mean, on the one hand, they say, yeah, it looks like KRC has the chops to pull this off. The financing looks good. The Board of Consultants report looks good. The dam removal plan looks tight. Everything's going to go on time. But we're going to require that PacifiCorps remain licensee because we're not comfortable with KRC doing it on their own. So they lay out the case as to why KRC could handle it. And then they say, but we're not going to let that happen. And they had a whole bunch of other reasons for it. And when you go through the ruling, it has a number of things like that. Like we see that where, you know, there's very little leftover liability, that doesn't look like PacifiCorps has a high risk, but KRC could indemnify PacifiCorps against further liability. And you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't even make sense. You just said there wasn't any liability or significant liability. And so on. So they went through it. I think Craig has it exactly nailed that they weren't just thinking about the Klamath case. They're seeing this as a bellwether for dam removal cases going across the West. And I think FERC was saying, are we going to have to judge each and every one of these nonprofit companies that gets formed independently? Or should we just require the licensee to remain on as co-licensee? In all cases, we just established the precedent. And I think you can see what they're doing right here, even though it doesn't quite make sense in
right.
this case.
So the question is that going to make dam removal harder across the board? And my hunch is, yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, the company was quite clear that they'd rather have be absolved of all liability, yeah. as with any company involved right. in any dam removal. And if FERC says, no, you can't be, you know, on the one hand, I can see their point with the public policy. Why should that utility be allowed complete absolution of any liability? It was they profited from it for so long. On the other hand, it just makes the economics harder to right. get the dam removal to happen.
Right. And if FERC's objective in retaining a utility licensee as the sort of liability cushion of last resort is to protect the state and federal governments from the potential burden of taking over those costs if, say, the Renewal Corporation were to fail, that seems misplaced to me, because both the states involved here have already said, you know, we want to cap our costs, but if something really bad goes on, you know, we'll be there. We're not going to leave a stranded asset, as California DFW said.
Well, we do things like this all the time. You know, we clean up
that
nuclear
doesn't mean
waste.
That makes sense.
Well, I'm just saying, like, right. this idea that we can't possibly figure out how to create liability protections or guard against cost overruns. Well, of course we can. We do it all the time. We have brownfield cleanups. We clean up nuclear waste sites. We demolish giant skyscrapers. We do this stuff all the time. And that's exactly why we were pleased to see a company like Kiewit get involved, because that's the scale of project that they are involved in. So I just feel pretty strongly that PacifiCorp is milking this thing for all it's worth. I think they are posturing. They're making comments that, well, geez, now we don't know if this is the best deal for our customers. When how can it possibly be a better deal for your customers to drop out of this, leave $250 million on the table, leave all this insurance on the table, leave your partners hanging and make enemies out of them, and think you're going to relicense this project and it'd be a better deal for your customers and ratepayers? It's crazy.
It is interesting to note. I just saw that LaMalfa has a press release that says that the FERC agrees with him that KRRC can't handle the Klamath Dam license. So it is a weird spot.
And when you say LaMalfa, you mean
Doug LaMalfa, representative from Siskiyou County, Northeast California, probably one of our most conservative members of Congress. He is an anti-environmental champion and proudly wears an anti-environmentalist label.
And no mask.
And no mask, yeah. No, he's the worst. He's the pits. And this is Eco News Report, and I'm your host, Tom Wheeler. You can quote me on that. So LaMalfa is crowing that this is a victory for his side, the anti-dam removal side, the pro-fish-killing dams remain in place. I saw a quote from Craig, your boss, the chairman of the Creek Tribe, who said that he could work with this, that this is a clear path forward and that the Creek Tribe can work with this. And the only group that is saying that they can't, that this harms everything that they've been working towards, is PacifiCorp. So would PacifiCorp, is there any sort of relief for PacifiCorp here? If they don't like FERC's decision, is it appealable? Is this final? Is there going to be more drama to play out over this decision in court?
Well, we hope not. I mean, we hope that, you know, we do have a respectful, tight relationship with PacifiCorp's staff and executives. I mean, it's been, you know, it's a challenge. They have a different agenda than we have. The relationship was a trial by fire. It started with pretty aggressive protests that involved direct action and litigation directed at PacifiCorp. So it was, you know, we've been working with these guys for 20 years, and I would say it was maybe 8 years ago where we kind of rounded the corner and we decided that we would be colleagues with PacifiCorp, partners with PacifiCorp. We've worked our butts off to address their concerns. I think PacifiCorp has worked really hard to be respectful of the tribe's position, where the tribe's coming from. So I feel like we can salvage this. I don't feel like it's a huge disaster. I feel like this thing's going to go forward. The writing's on the wall. Dams that don't make money, their days are numbered. Nobody wants dams that don't make any money. And so I think it's pretty, it always makes me chuckle to hear an ultra-conservative like Congressman LaMalfa, who on the one hand will talk about your right to not have to wear a mask to prevent the spread of COVID, but at the same time deny a corporation its right to enter into agreement to dispose of an asset that doesn't make any money. So which is it? Is the government going to tell people what they can do with their stuff or not? And he kind of picks his argument based on, you know, what topic we're discussing. So, you know, he's an immensely ineffective congressperson. And I don't think that, you know, LaMalfa's brand of politics will win today here.
I have been watching Hamilton on Disney Plus, and I would love to see LaMalfa challenge us to a duel now. This is an affair of honor. Craig, you can be my second. We'll have the dueling pistols. We'll go out to a sandbar.
Yeah,
I think that he's probably a better shot than I am, because
I was just about to say,
I'm a big city liberal.
My money would be on the congressman, Tom. I think he's probably pretty good with a pistol.
All right. Well, you've been so challenged, LaMalfa. Just kidding. No, please don't.
I just want to interject one more thing. We did actually have a chance to talk directly with LaMalfa, and no, he did not wear a mask in that meeting. But one of the things that should not be lost on this is the contribution of the dams to deal with the water issues that we're facing in the Klamath right now. That's what I worked on all spring, was trying to get the government to honor its agreement, release the water downriver, which we achieved partially and partially not. Farmers were cut. The fish are dying. Farmers aren't happy. Indians aren't happy. Nobody's happy. So what we're looking at here is a dam removal to be an integral piece of trying to build sustainable communities from the top to the bottom of the river here. And that's the way we see it. And that's what we talked to LaMalfa about. What he talked to us in the meeting about was his concerns about the stability of the Western power grid. That's what he talked to us, saying that the dams were vital contributions to that, and things like that. The facts, and that discussion was one that we had back in 2007 and 2008 with the company. Replacement power for these dams was a big discussion, and all of a sudden PacifiCorp said, no, actually we got this, and it was never even discussed again. PacifiCorp had so much renewable energy coming online that this was just a blip. Measurement error in the Western grid is what they called it. So I will, but getting back to the main point though, this dam removal is at its heart a fish restoration project, and it's integral to the future of the Klamath Basin.
And then let me just add, cueing off of Mike's point, like, people should understand that the battle over flows in the Klamath is in many ways a separate one than the battle over the dams. These dams do not control how much water is flowing down the Klamath River. That's really controlled by releases from Upper Klamath Lake. And so there's been a battle with that part too, and that's a battle with the Bureau of Reclamation and the irrigators on that project up there. And I would say that not only is dam removal in the interest of the tribes, salmon fishermen, PacifiCorp's customers, it is in the interest of those irrigators, because if you're an irrigator and you want fewer regulatory burdens, the best way to have that is to have more fish. And removing these dams is going to make more fish, it's going to improve water quality, and it's going to mean there's fewer regulatory burdens for these irrigators to deal with as they try to make a living farming and ranching. So we think this is in everybody's interest, and nobody, not even the power company, buys LaMalfa's argument that these dams are somehow important for the power grid. They make a negligible amount of electricity, which is why they're deadbeat dams and candidates for removal.
So for more information on that issue, water flows in the Klamath, check out the Eco News report from the 4th of July. You can find that on the Lost Coast Outpost. It's called The State of the Klamath. So you'll get to hear our guests from this show on that show. I want to end by kind of centering on the experience of the Kurukh tribe right now, who are preparing or are engaging in their world renewal ceremonies. This is an important cultural event every year in the Kurukh tribe's practice. And so one, be aware of it. So if you're planning to use Klamath River, look for signs and please be respectful for folks out on the river. And I think that this is a really appropriate time to have world renewal. And let's hope that the ceremonies help get these dams out and free up this process and get our fish flowing again.
And I would just note that it's not, you know, all the tribes on the Klamath are world renewal people, do world renewal ceremonies. The Kurukh tribe, because a lot of their territory is Forest Service managed, and there's a lot of river access points throughout Kurukh Aboriginal territory, we do ask people to avoid certain river access points on certain dates so that they would not get in the way of these ceremonies. You can go to Klamath National Forest's website and see those dates. But one of the privileges and things I love about working for the tribe and working with the tribes here is, you know, their commitment to the resource and the river is just so deep. You know, it's impossible for me to really, you know, capture it and explain it. But when I hear people talk about participation in these ceremonies, they're praying for PacifiCorp just as hard as they're praying for their families and everybody else. So if 2020 needs anything, it's world renewal ceremonies.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's true. All right. Well,
thanks, Tom.
Go forth. Thank you all.
Hey, good. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
I appreciate you too. And Scott, yeah. I also appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
See ya. Yeah.
All right. Take care.
All right. That was another episode of the Eco News Report. For more news from the North Coast of California, check out the Lost Coast Outpost, where these issues are reposted. If you have a topic that you'd like covered on a future Eco News report, email me at tom@wildcalifornia.org and join us on this time and channel next week for more environmental news.